Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here today to worship with us today, and looking forward to our service this morning. And if you are a guest, we want to say a special welcome to you. We'd love to connect with you, and there's one of two ways that we can do that. One, here in person, there's a card in the pew back in front of you. If you'd fill that information out, and then at the end of service, we'll have an opportunity to give as we leave today, and you can leave that in the offering plate, or you can just set it in the pew seat beside you. Or if you've joined us online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. Click that button, fill that information out, and that'll be a way for us to connect with you, know who's worshiping with us, and how we might be able to serve you today. And so thank you so much again for joining us, and want to make you aware of a few things happening in the life of our church that are coming up. And so let me mention those things to you. First of all, they say there's going to be an eclipse here tomorrow, so we will wait and see if the Lord tarries, but nonetheless, we are, again, preparing for that. We have had some reservations for parking spots, and all of those proceeds are going to help with our team headed to Ghana this summer. And so with that, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's going to be a group of us get here, and you're welcome to come and join us if you would like. And we're going to begin laying out and just sort of preparing for tomorrow. And then from 8 o'clock on tomorrow, we will be here. And so if you would like to come and hang out and help us just with some different things around the church, as we're trying to minister to those that come in and facilitate all those things happening. And so that begins at 8 o'clock tomorrow, and so if you have any availability, want to come, be here during the day. If you want to come after and just sort of help with some cleanup and that sort of thing, there's plenty of options. So you can see Pastor Jonathan or myself, and we'll make sure to try to get you plugged in to help with that, okay? All of our regular scheduled activities this week, as normally scheduled. Do want to mention there's a thorough note in the bulletin about a Young at Heart trip coming up, so I want to encourage you to grab a bulletin, see the notes about that, an upcoming trip, and that gives you all the important information with regard to that. Also want to celebrate that, at least to this point, I know certainly can still give, but we're on the end of our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and just want to thank you so much for those that have given. So far, $2,590 has been given to that, and so, man, just thank the Lord for everybody who has given toward that Easter, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering that we took up during the month of March. Okay, one last thing I want to mention to you, a little bit of housekeeping. I apologize. You know that the projector to my left, your right, that screen has been out. We've been having some issues, and we're trying to figure out what is the best remedy to that, and the most affordable, and all that sort of thing. We did have the one on the right. It shut off this morning. As you notice, they're normally up and running. At least that one has been the last several weeks, and it was off. So there is a possibility that the eclipse is starting. I don't know what's happening, but maybe that's an eclipse over the projector. Anyway, nonetheless, we will make it through. The Lord, I believe, will still meet with us. And so, anyway, so if that goes out, that's our apology. And anyway, at some point, if it cools down, we may be able to get it back on, or it may just probably stay off the remainder of service. And we'll try to figure out the best way to solve that. So our apologies for that. Maybe it won't be an issue at all. I'll find out just like you will, all right? So I'm confident in just a few minutes this one on my left, your right, will go out, and then we'll go from there, all right? So let me pray for us today. Hey, quickly, let me read this to you just by way of reminder, and you have read it, and you know it well. Psalm 119, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. And man, there's some cool things that happen in nature, and there's some really special moments that we get to enjoy this side of heaven, but they ought to remind us that there is a God in heaven, And he is the one and the only one that is worthy of our praise. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will worship the Lord together. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God, today we want to join in with all of creation singing for the glory of God. Lord, today as the redeemed people of God, we want to thank you for your salvation. God, I pray in these moments together that, God, you would be glorified. I pray that you would be exalted and you would be lifted up. Lord, hide us behind your cross. Fill us with your spirit today. And I pray that you be glorified. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we sing, "This is Amazing Grace"?
Power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all.
People's body language and the smiles on their faces that it has happened, the eclipse of our projectors. So bear with us this morning. We're going to sing a familiar hymn now, "Love Lifted Me." For those of you who remember this hymn, we're taking a little bit, 546 in your hymnal. But this is an opportunity also for you to do maybe some calisthenics. Because when you hear the word lifted, I don't know if some of you used to do this when you were younger. Lifted, you go up on your toes. You don't have to stay up there very long, right? But since we're doing things a little bit different today, maybe you want to do that. Love lifted me.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me. Master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love.
Got one back. Light from getting through, we do.
that we remind ourselves of this. It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah conquered the life was on the move. For
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to John chapter 3? John chapter 3, and again, as we've noticed, screens being out today, and so there should be, at least close to you, and maybe in the underneath the seat there, there are some Bibles in case you need one, or you can use your device if you prefer that, but that is on page 978 in the Bibles that are in the pew there, and so if you need one of those, certainly feel free to do that. So here we are. I know it's been a little bit different this morning and just sort of a little bit of a weird time, especially in our hometown right now. And as you know, I've been preaching through the Gospel of John and was in John last week, but took a venture to the end of the chapter. Now here we are back in John chapter 3. And I think our text, although I'm not smart enough to plan it this way, nonetheless is fitting. And this week was a good reality check for me. You may have noticed I'm not nearly as fleet of foot as I might normally be. This week I thought to get some exercise, I'd go play some basketball. And man, I rolled that ankle up under me, and I don't bounce up quite as quick as I used to. And so I'm still trying to recover, and I was doing really well until yesterday. I thought, well, I need to mow the yard a little bit, and I have a burn pile that I was needing to burn. And there's something about, it can be at the calmest days. Anybody know that? You can be the calmest day in the world, and you light a fire, and the wind blows. I don't care if it hadn't been wind in 100 days, but all of a sudden, I lit the fire and the wind came, and my water hose was split, and so, man, I just about burned down Crow Mountain yesterday, I think. So, but thank the Lord, I was praying hard and commanding the boys to run. So, they toted water yesterday, and boy, I'm plumb proud of them, right? So, they saved the day. Anyway, so I was a little bit better yesterday, but hobbling around in my mole-riddled yard reminded me of my ankle. So here we are. So I may not be as mobile today as I normally am. So John chapter 3, this text is in the setting of, if you remember and go back and look, at the beginning of John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and wants to know how to inherit eternal life, how to be born again, how to have a relationship with God. And we're going to reference that back early in the text. And it's fascinating to me. I'd read this passage, I'd preach at least parts, if not all of this passage, and so on and so forth. It's really interesting to me. I don't want to make too much out of, but I'm going to reference this, that Nicodemus, what time of day does he come to him? He comes to him at night. And then here we are at the end of these concluding marks that Jesus has to Nicodemus. And I want to preach to you this message that I've titled, Come Out of the Darkness. Come Out of the Darkness. Now, I'm not nearly smart enough to have planned this, to have a sermon on light and darkness as we approach tomorrow in the eclipse, okay? So don't give me that much credit. It's just the glory of God, and He is gracious to even people like me, all right? So John chapter 3, we're actually going to begin in verse 19. I'm going to preach 20 and 21, but I think 19 has some important context for us. And so as we typically do, if you found your place, one more time, would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? John chapter 3, verse 19, I'm reading from the New King James. If you did pull one of those Bibles, that is a CSB version, so it may be reading just a little bit different than you see this morning or know from your own text. All right, so John chapter 3, beginning in verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord Jesus, we rest and trust in you. God, in the midst of all the chaos this morning and some things working, some things not working, Lord, we pray that Holy Spirit, you would fall on this place and you would move in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And God, we pray you would speak to us through your word. I pray that you would convict the lost, give them grace to be saved today. I pray for those that know you, but God, they've drifted from you. I pray that they would return back to you. And I pray for the saints of God that are clean and close to you. I pray you'd encourage them this morning. Lord Jesus, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Well, if you're following along, taking notes this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is that God desires for you to come out of the darkness. See, we all started at an early age knowing the difference between right and wrong. We talked about this often. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We did not have to teach our kids, and you didn't have to teach your precious grandkids how to do wrong. We have a sin nature. We all came out of the womb knowing how to do that. And so at the earliest of ages, we are separated from God, knowing the difference between right and wrong, and we choose wrong. And so because of that, the Bible describes us as in darkness, being dead, separated from God. And so this truth is universal for all of us, that although you are all very sweet and kind, if not yet, there is some point you have to come out of the darkness and come to the light. That's the desire and purpose of God. And I believe that is what Jesus is trying to teach Nicodemus in these few verses that we have here to conclude his message to Nicodemus. So then the question of the text is this, is are you worried about things in your life coming to light? Are there things in your life, things that you are doing, things that you are involved in, things that you're well aware of, that you have some hidden or suppressed fear of one day somebody finding out about that, ultimately one day the God of all creation exposing those things? Well, Jesus had some pointed words for Nicodemus, a man that was coming to seek what he could do or how he could have a relationship with God. And so there are just two truths I want us to see from the text this morning. Number one, coming out of the darkness requires life transformation. It requires life transformation. I'm going to use the term life transformation often today in contrast to, we spent time, Pastor Jonathan and I did this past week, we spent time around the table with our college students on Wednesday night talking about this. There's a significant difference between life transformation and behavior modification. Yeah, there ought to be some different behaviors about us once we repent and place our faith and trust in Christ. But dear friend, your greatest need of the hour apart from Christ is not just to become a better, morally upright person, but rather to experience the life-changing power of the gospel. See, Jesus did not die on a Friday on a hill called Calvary and was buried and raised from the grave so that he could just improve your habits a little bit, but rather he was raised from the dead to change you from the inside out. Some of you believe that this morning. Maybe by the time we get to the end, there may be a few more. That's all right. Okay? But number one, coming out of the darkness requires life transformation. Notice the text this morning. Let's begin. We're going to get this running start from verse 19 to get into verse 20. And this is the condemnation. Remember this, I preached this last 2 weeks ago and we made clear that this is what the Bible is saying here. This is why men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. This is the condemnation. That's clear language there, okay? This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Real good Arkansas simple language for me that helps me is men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. Why? Because they love their sin too much. That's what he's saying. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So you already see the importance of the context of this before we get in verse 20, is that there is this parallelism, there's this synonym right here that you have the darkness and the evil deeds, and they are placed in the same context and suggesting of the same ideas, okay? And that's the point. So I need you to understand that then when we get to verse 20. So notice here. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So let's take just a moment. So here we have in verse 19, this is why men, women, boys, and girls die and go to hell. But he uses the language, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So there's this equating of being in the darkness and evil deeds. Then we get to verse 20. Everyone, notice everyone, this is universal, okay? Now it looks differently, and surely we've disguised it in different ways, or folks have disguised it, but notice this, everyone practicing evil hates the light. Well, let's pause there. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not an evil person. I don't do evil things. But here's the problem, that you and I, we try to be the ones to define evil, to define what is wicked. And we oftentimes, especially good Southern folks, go, man, I'm just a good person. I try to help people and all these sorts of things. And I just have these little things or these small sins, if you will, going on in my life. Here's what we've got to understand, is that the Bible calls anything that is an affront or an assault to the things of God, calls anything that's stepping outside of the will and plan and purpose of God, anything that is not designed to be a part of what God's design is for us, God, the Bible calls wicked, calls it evil. I know that's not real comforting, right? It's not real encouraging. But here's what you need to see. Notice verse 20. For everyone who practicing evil hates the light. And so the reality is that every man, woman, boy, and girl, from the earliest of ages, anything that is against the things of God, the Bible calls sin and references as evil. And so even the little, quote, white lies that you told as a child, the Bible still calls that sin, and the Bible still calls that wicked and evil. And so even those things is what the Word of God is referencing here. Everyone who practices evil hates the light. Here's what I need you to see, this idea of practicing. This is a pattern of behavior. Okay, I'm going to talk about walking in the light and living in the light, but I need to pause here for just a moment and say, as a born-again believer, October 10, 2004, I bowed my knee and gave my heart and life to Jesus. In no way, shape, or form have I even resembled perfection since then. But Jesus changed my life, and what the reality ought to be is I'm not living, I'm not showing a consistent pattern of behavior of practicing evil, things that are against God, pushing back against the things of God. Because remember, notice the context. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, if you back up in chapter 3, you see that he is recognized as the leader among leaders, the religious among the religious. And so Nicodemus would have had a pretty, in terms of the religious folks in the area, he'd have had a pretty spotless record, most likely. And so what is Jesus pointing out to him of saying, listen, even the most religious, even the most church folk, even the most upright of people, if they have not experienced a saving relationship with Christ, they have not experienced this life transformation, they are living a life of practicing evil. Defined by the Word of God, not by us or our culture, for that matter. Or even the laws of our land, but according to the Word of God. Let us press on. Verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. Well, oftentimes have you noticed that as we, as believers, as Christian standards are attempted to be upheld, there's a great hatred for that. There's a group of folks that will rise up and hate against that. Just yesterday, I was reading a story about Don Shirley, the head coach for the University of South Carolina women's basketball team, who plays in the national championship today, has done some things, offered game day devotionals and a chaplain serving their team, and she's been vocal about the things of God. And I have no idea about her relationship with God, but she has not shied away from Christianity, and there's been this activist group raise up, and they're trying to pressure the University of South Carolina to say it's not her job to proselytize, it's not her job to push her beliefs and her views and all those sorts of things. And listen here, I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, you and I both know, as you and us take a stand for the things of God, as others around us take a stand for the things of God, there is a hatred against those standing in the light. Most importantly, there's a hatred against the things of God. And because of that, because we want to uphold the standards of the Bible and the biblical truth and the reality of the truth, what tends to happen is there's accusations that it's small-mindedness, it's bigotry, it's all these sorts of things that are accused. Why? Because those that are in the darkness, they are practicing evil, and all they want to do is they want to hate the light. They want to push off deeper into their darkness. So he says, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be exposed. Why do men and women, boys and girls hate the light? Because when a biblical standard is raised up and the light is turned on, it begins to expose their faults and their failures. And they have to begin to be confronted with that there is no way the things they are doing will in any way lead them to eternal life. Any way that they'll inherit the things of God. Any way that there's any hope or help or happiness after this life. He's telling Nicodemus, who has come to him at night, and he's using the moment as a teaching moment, saying, people with evil deeds, people doing wicked things, hate the light. What is the light? Jesus, or John, introduces us to the light in John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says this, in him, talking about Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is the light that came into the world to expose darkness. Why? Not to condemn people. That's what John 3 has already said. Not to condemn, but to save the lost. We read in John chapter 3, earlier in this chapter, I've already referenced it several times, this was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus has come in the nighttime. It seems to be pointed out as a significant moment in which he is very cautious about his approaching of Jesus. And I need you to hear this morning, Jesus didn't say, hey, I just need you to tie your bootstraps up. I need you to tighten your sandals a little tighter. I need to pull your belt a little bit tighter and just do better and be better and do good things. But rather what Jesus said is that you need life transformation. You must be born again. And Jesus said, if you want to inherit eternal life, you must be born again. John would later talk about this light and darkness in 1 John chapter 2 verse 11, but it says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Here's what's hard about the darkness is that you don't realize you're in the darkness. You don't. You don't realize how dark it is. You don't realize that how much in need you are. That's the deceptiveness of darkness. And so, dear friend, there's a call of God to come out of the darkness. And the only way, there's no just, hey, let me get to be a better person. There's no just, let me improve what I'm doing. Let me just do better. The only way to come out of darkness the way that Jesus is describing is to have a life-changing encounter with Christ. Period. And so, he says, he's teaching us, number one, coming out of darkness requires life transformation. Number two, coming to the light is a result of life transformation. See, here's the thing. You don't just come to the light because you think it's a good idea, although it is a good idea. You don't just come to the light, that is to Jesus, because mom or dad wants you to, although moms and dads ought to want their kids to do that. You don't just come to the light, that is Jesus, because grandma and grandpa want you to, although we ought to want them to. But here's the reality. The only reason you come to the light is because you've had a life-changing transformation. You've come out of the darkness, and now you have a life-changing transformation with the light of the world. And now there's a closeness, there's a proximity to the light of God. Verse 21, notice this. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that have been done in God. Notice again the context, Nicodemus, John 3:3, one must be born again, the life transformation. And because I have been changed, I'm coming out of darkness and I'm coming to the light. So, well, Pastor, I thought you just said that man, we don't do good things to come to the light, but it's saving faith. And here's what you need to see is that the Bible will go on to teach us that it's not just faith without works. And it's not works without faith, but it's faith that we show by our works. So here's what I need you to understand. It's two sides of the same coin. If you were to take a quarter and pull it out, or if I were to pull a quarter out and said, hey, here, I want to give you this quarter. It has heads but no tails. You would say, well, that's counterfeit. It's no good. And you'd be absolutely right. Well, if I gave you a quarter that had tails and no heads, say that also is counterfeit. It is no good. It needs both heads and tails. Here's what I need you to see and understand is that what the Bible is telling us in that passage is that faith without works is dead. So to have, say I have faith in Christ, but your life not be changed and your behaviors not be changed and you don't experience any life transformation, that's not the God that got up from the grave. That's not the Savior who saves us. The Savior who saves us is we repent and believe, place our faith and trust in Christ, and as a result of that, I'm not saved by my works, but because I am saved, I will work. Does that make sense? It's two sides of the same coin, okay? And so he says here in verse 21, but he who does the truth comes to the light. So I've come out of darkness. I've experienced life transformation. Now I'm trying to walk in truth. I'm trying to live my way and it pleases God. I'm trying to, follow the things and plans of God. And now notice this. It's a life of practice. It does not mean it's a life of perfection. Meaning this, yeah, I'm going to struggle. Yes, I'm going to snow. I'm going to get out of line with the will of God. So what do? I repent and get back in line. And man, I just begin to pursue the things of God. And so then as I'm walking in truth, what am I doing? I'm walking to the light. What is happening? I'm getting closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. Man, as a believer, that's where you ought to be in your life. And if you've been saved 40, 50, 20, 10, whatever it is, and you're not closer to the things of God, if you don't seem to resemble the things of God, and I'm not talking perfectionism, I'm just saying you're a little bit more like Christ than you were a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. If that is not true, you need to examine your salvation. Again, I'm not saying you're perfect, and I'm not saying we don't have seasons where we struggle. I'm just telling you there's something wrong is if you claim to have a relationship with Christ and you're not getting closer to Him. Why? Because coming to the light is a result of life transformation. It's a result of life transformation. Why in the world would Jesus want to save you out of darkness? Why in the world would Jesus want to radically change your life and leave you right where you are and not see something different in your life? No, it's not what happens. The Spirit of God comes and lives and dwells inside of you, and the Spirit of God yearns to be with the Son, and so He draws you closer and closer and closer, wanting you to be more like Him. So He says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen." Now, if you pause right there, that would sound like a very arrogant, self-serving, narcissistic approach, right? Going, well, he just wants to look good in front of everybody. He just wants to seem like he gets closer to Jesus, so everybody stands back and go, "Woo, look at Chris, isn't he good?" Nobody's ever done that, by the way, but I appreciate that. Thanks for playing along, all right? So, but if you read that, that's the idea of going, man, I've experienced life transformation, and now he's just been getting the light, so everybody talk about how great he is, and that and all this sort of thing. But don't stop there. Notice what it says. It says that his deeds may be clearly seen. Why? That they have been done in God. That's an important phrase. It's pivotal to the whole text. What's it saying? I've experienced life transformation. Jesus is the light. I'm drawing closer and closer to Him. And as I'm walking in truth, as I'm living my life according to the biblical standard and the plan and purposes of God, what does that mean? That means that there's activity in my life of practicing the truth that are deeds to be seen. Why are they to be seen? They're to be seen because they're done in the power of God. I need cookies on the bottom shelf for me. It's done to bring glory and honor to Jesus. Of going, hey, the things you've seen me do, you see me maybe share the gospel, you see me, you see somebody, man, they try to be generous in their giving, or they try to help folks, or they try to be a blessing to somebody. They've experienced life change. They're not doing it to earn salvation, but because I have been changed, I'm trying to do some things that reflect the character and nature of God, that look more and more like Jesus. And as I do more of that and folks see it, the point is going, man, there's something different about his life. And he, the power of God's on him. The things of God, man, he's living his life. Man, I got to know the God he knows. I got to experience that life change. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life," right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hey, by the way, I'm going to hobble down here. Let me give you something free, okay? I'm not going to charge you extra at all for this. There's a theologically inaccurate phrase, part of that song that we sing sometime. And it's this. It says, "I'm not going to let Satan it out. No, I'm not going to let Satan it out." Hey, let me help you, dear friend, okay? Grab a hold of the pew in front of you because this is shouting ground, all right? When Jesus saved your soul, He lit a light in you that Satan and every demon of hell could line up in front of your light, and you know what he can't do? He can't. Why? Because you didn't light it. He didn't light it. It's not his light. It's not your light. It is the light of the world, and Jesus is the one that has lit your light. So don't you dare believe, don't you dare buy into to thinking that Satan can somehow come and blow your light out. Now, be careful. You can put a cover it, right? You can put a bushel over it. You can get away from the things of God. But let me tell you, dear friend, Satan or any demon of hell or all of them gathered together can't take your light, because Jesus is the one that lit your light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Man, Jesus lit your light. Don't you dare squander what God has done in your life. Let the life transformation, the life transforming power of God work in you and through you. John 8, he said, I am the light of the world, and this light has come to you. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John 15:4-5, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, look at this, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Okay, let's practice together. Say nothing. Nothing. Hey, okay, all right, fine. All right, there's nothing we can do apart from him. But did you notice, he said, if you abide in him, if you have a relationship with Christ, what will you do? You will bear fruit. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will bear fruit. So if you're looking around in your life and you don't see fruit, or you see wicked, dark fruit, then you need to repent, believe on Jesus, and give your heart and life to him. So, well, that's awfully judgmental. No, it's not. I'm just being a fruit inspector, okay? All right? Dear friend, if you've surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you ought to be nudging ever so closely, day by day, to the light. 1 Corinthians 15 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul said, I'm not doing this on my own. It's the grace of God. So here's the picture. Nicodemus, seemingly from the text, has slipped in under the cover at night. And he is approached, at least they've determined that he's a great prophet, he's a great teacher. And he's come to Jesus and he's asked him a question, saying, man, what must I do to inherit the things of God? What must I do to have a relationship with him? And in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered, said, you must be born again. And you remember, he questions, how can I, who of old, enter back into the mother's womb to be born again? He said, one must be born of the water, physical birth, and of the spirit, spiritual birth. You must experience salvation in Christ and in Christ alone. And Jesus goes on to teach, and he gives us the most well-known verse in the entire world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He teaches him that God gave him his own Son. And then he said, for God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And in the quietness and in the cover of the night, he finishes his comments by saying, he who is practicing evil walks in the darkness and hates the light, lest his deeds should be uncovered. But he who practices the truth draws to the light, Nicodemus, that others may see his deeds and say, man, that's in the power of God. He's saying, Nicodemus, have you sought me to come out this night through the cover of darkness? I'm calling you to come out of the darkness, not just of the cover of night, but of the darkness of your life, and come to me that you may experience life transformation. And when you do, you won't be worried about me coming to me in the cover of night, but you won't be ashamed. Matter of fact, you'll do things that others may see and go, man, God's done something in his life. And you know what? I believe that God did just that in Nicodemus' life before he passed. And dear friend, I don't know if you've just been a spectator. I don't know if you've just sort of been in the cover of night trying to slip up on Jesus. I don't know if you've hated the things of God, if you've tried to cut out all the Christ-like things in your life, or if you've just been dependent on being good enough to get into heaven. I want to beg you and plead with you. Repent and believe. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. So, dear friend, won't you repent and believe? For those of you that do know Christ, man, don't you forget that Jesus has changed your life. He has lit a light in your heart and in your life that as you draw closer and closer to the Lord Jesus, may it burn brighter for the glory of God and of God alone. Don't hide it. Don't run from it. But rather carry it. That all who are in the house, all who come close, may see the power and glory of God upon you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And God in heaven, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. God, I pray that in this moment, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that you would save them. I pray that they'd repent and place their faith and trust in Christ. God, I pray and ask you to give them grace to open up their heart and life to you right now. And if that's you, dear friend, you say, Pastor Chris, I don't know. I feel like God's dealing my heart. And I need to be saved. I'm just encouraging you, dear friend, right where you're at. You can pray and ask the God of all creation to save you. And God is not a respecter of persons. He'll save you. You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away all my sins. Forgive me of all my past, present, and future sin. I ask you to be the boss of my life. I give you everything. I ask you to save me. In Jesus' name, you remain in the attitude of prayer. In just a moment, as I begin to pray, the invitation is this. Maybe God's dealing with your heart. Maybe you just pray and ask God to save you. Come. Say, Pastor Chris, man, I pray and ask God to save me today. Maybe you just want to come to the front and kneel and pray. Pray for lost people around you. Pray for those that are walking in darkness. Maybe you've gotten away from the things of God and you need to come back to Him. Whatever it is, let's just take a few moments and respond to Him. So when I finish praying, you remain in the attitude of prayer and you be obedient to the Lord however He leads you. God in heaven, I thank you again for our time. I pray, God, that we'd be sensitive to your leadership. We'd be obedient to your guidance. And help us to respond to you. I pray for those that ask you to save them. I pray you give them boldness to come. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. You may an attitude of prayer. If God dealt with your heart, you come. You can come and kneel at the front. You need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever the Lord's doing in your life, you respond to Him. Take just a few moments.
Jesus, over every heart and every
tonight.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power.
Prayers that you leave here today, and Lord willing, a little bit closer to the Lord, and a sense of freedom, because there's freedom where the Spirit is. And so I thank God for His salvation. I'm going to ask our men if you'll begin to take your place so we can help take up the offering today. And let me just say thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. I just thinking about even our Wednesday night activities. We have kids every week that we get the chance to feed physically and spiritually every week because of your faithfulness to give. And I want to say thank you for that. We plan to continue to have offering a way for us to give physically and in person. But I do want to make you aware there is an opportunity that you can go to our website and you can set up online giving. And there's a lot of options with that as far as you giving however often you get paid and all that sort of thing. There's some options there. I want to encourage you, if you do that, use the e-check option is the best one. It's the most affordable, if you will. It just is a flat fee, 30 cents per transaction charge. Any other way, there's a percentage associated with that as well. So anyway, so just want to mention that to you. That's there and available to you. Not required, not mandatory. We're going to continue to take offering in person. But just want to make sure that you are aware that is an option for you, okay? All right, hey, let's stand together. And 3 o'clock this afternoon, we're going to be doing some work out in the parking lot. And then tomorrow, we'll be here 8 o'clock most of the day. So if you want to come hang out with us and all of our new friends, okay? So anyway, maybe praying for our city, be praying for opportunities tomorrow. We, in some of the reservations of spots, we have people reserved all the way, have reserved with us that have addresses from Washington to Maine to New Mexico to Colorado to Louisiana, so all over the country. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, all right? So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you for being here. Jesus, you're good, and we love and adore you. Thank you that you are the light of the world. Thank you for the life-transforming power of the gospel. I pray that we would live this week as if though we have been transformed with the power of the gospel. God, thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray you bless this offering as we give, multiply it, and use it for your kingdom. And God, help us to make much of Jesus in all that we say and do. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Have a great week. Love you.